summer's almost gone already. Shouldn't be that quick. Wherever you are, what time? I don't know. You might be listening to this in November or winter, but right now it's summer and it's amazing. All sorts of things have happened. And I don't know if you heard the interview with my astrologer, but she talked about change, Mercury retrograde, Mars retrograde, eclipses. I think there's another one coming up and there was already one. So there's a lot of stuff happening around that. And I've been talking to people, dealing with people who are going through all sorts of upheavals and moves and relocations and things like that. So it kind of is, I think, epitomizing exactly what happens when they talk about change and big change. So along with that, I've had a chance to do some traveling, which I haven't done in quite a while, at least not leaving the state and staying for a few days. And that was fun. With that, I posted on the blog, Wendy's Coffee House, I posted pictures because when I was in Sedona, and this is the special place, this is when I was first kind of experimenting with the nightlights and seeing if they would travel well. This is a little nightlight that is interactive and blinks. And the reason I learned how to channel, the reason all this other stuff was much more front and center in my life, the intuitive stuff, the seeing things and talking to people who are no longer in a physical form. That stuff all was really front and center and brand new 20 years ago. And so I went to Sedona to see, does it travel? Yes, it does. It doesn't matter where you are. If you are intuitive, if you are in that way aware, then it goes with you. But it was so new. I wasn't sure if it was just this something that happened in one location at a house and that was all there was to it. Once I moved, it would be gone. And I was afraid of losing the connection. So when I took the nightlight, it was really tough to take it, unplug it from the wall, because there's this interactive thing that to me is alive, and thinking, oh, I hope I didn't kill it. Okay. So when I get to Sedona and plug it in, and there it is. Yes, larger than life. And the connection is there. It's telepathic. So those kinds of things were all brand new. Revisiting that and going back to Sedona and knowing I needed to go visit some of the vortexes and one in particular, knowing I just needed to make the trip and get there. And I had a timeline that it needed to happen before July 1st because of other things that were happening. And I wasn't aware of all the astrological implications and all of that upheaval. I just knew the timing was important. And the same thing when I went to Arkansas to visit the Board Camp Crystal Mine and find out about what was happening down there with the paranormal stuff and the orbs and the levitating rocks and the extraordinary crystals, which I do have one now that I'm very amazed with the energy that these crystals have from that area. Everybody's different, so each person resonates or connects on a unique level to certain kinds of things, and this one happens to me make a difference with this crystal energy from that area. So those things have been a part of my life recently, where I'm revisiting a lot of the things that got me started on this path in the first place. And so when I went to Sedona, I was taking pictures of the environment, the clouds, the animals, just being in the space and hearing. One night I woke up and heard, I was half asleep and half awake. I'm hearing these dogs, thinking a dog got out. And what the heck was going on with the dog? And almost thinking I was back home with our dogs and thinking, oh, the other dogs are now chasing that dog and they're letting the neighbors know that dog's out. And I realized I'm not at home and the dogs are coyotes. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need to open the door, because it's through a closed door that I'm hearing this incredibly loud, raucous coyote sounds. And I grew up on the farm and out in the country, so I've heard a coyote before. just not quite that excited, and not that many all at once. These guys were having a big party in the middle of where it would have been, where we were at, on a golf course. And as soon as I opened the door, there was like one little yip and they were gone. And my husband said, yeah, that was the yip of warning, said to run. And they left. But that and owl encounters and things that are just indicative of change and insight and awareness. The owl, I've gotten pictures of the yard of the owl who visits and who's been much more present than for the first time, very present in several years. And so that's been kind of amazing. But when I was taking pictures of the sky in Sedona, I came home and looked at one of the pictures, and there were these dots. There's like five dots up in the distance. And a friend on Twitter, he did a re-imaging of that photo. And those five dots reflect another section where there are dots. And it almost looks like they're little windows. So at the time when I saw the dots, I knew, okay, this is the typical orb type, UFO type image that you see. And from my own experience, what I can say is that if there is a visibility issue, some people will see and others won't. It's not bad. It isn't good. It's just that's the way it is. So when you ask somebody, have you seen one? It doesn't mean the lack of seeing means they aren't there. It means there may be a reason that you're not seeing them. There may be a place where you are able to see more. And so these kinds of things are not always included when we're trying to figure out what's happening and to connect the dots. And recently someone was saying that there are a lot more indications that people who are able to have multiple senses, their synesthesia, where they have different ways of seeing, viewing, and in some ways they're very extraordinary abilities. There's also some that the intuitive sense that gives you an ability to open up, to see orbs, to see auras, to see other things, and to sense other things that are not corporeal, and the energy, the essence of something that might give you an ability to know in advance that something's going to happen, or to turn and take a picture when normally that wouldn't have crossed your mind. But at that point, I felt compelled. Okay, this will be a great picture. I want this image from the parking lot. It wasn't anything special. It was just that moment of, okay, and there it is. There are the orbs. I put them on the blog. But the other thing that just happened recently, in the last week when we had the eclipse, I'm in an area where that isn't possible. You can't see it. We're in the wrong part of the world for that this time. But I went outside to go see Mars because it was supposed to be close along with the eclipse and the full moon, the blood moon. And I thought, well, I'll just go outside and look at the stars because that's relaxing. So I'm outside looking at the stars. I see this star. It's all by itself. And I'm thinking that it really looks like it's flashing different colors. Around the middle, the star is morphing and it has different colors, and it's the rainbow, the yellow, orange, red, blue, white, all these colors are flashing around this star. I'm thinking, what the heck? So I go get my camera, knowing that the camera doesn't take pictures of stars. That camera, I'm lucky to get a good moon shot, the moon in the sky shot. And that, so I was just trying to get a way to see it, to get a better visual, so it would magnify it, and I could see what was going on with the colors and why I would see that. Because sometimes it's an optical illusion, clouds going by, some kind of refraction, and I'm looking up and I'm seeing a beautiful perfect bright white star. Okay, so it took away my ability to see the colors, and then as I'm focusing, it gives me a red burst, a little red burst of energy that shoots out from the star. And at that point, the little red burst of energy triggers my camera to take a picture. So my camera flashes. And so that's not supposed to happen. For one thing, I'm not used to red bursts coming out from stars. And maybe I just can't see them because, again, I needed the camera to magnify this image. Well, the fun thing about it was I got five of those. So five red bursts from the star. And at one point I was at four and I thought, okay, it's stopped. I guess that's all I'm going to get. Greedy. And then I had the telepathic sense, that little imprint, that prompt that said, wait, it's recharging. Oh, it has to recharge. So just wait. So I waited, not very long, a few seconds, maybe a minute or two. And then I focused again, and there was the fifth burst. One of the bursts, it looks like from my view, that it was away from the star. The others seemed to come from the star. And UFO, it's unidentified flying, unidentified imaging objects. I don't know if it's a star. I don't know if it's a spaceship. I don't know what it is. I don't have the ability to make a call on that. I trust that it's something that I'm not familiar with because of the telepathic prompt there on waiting, it's recharging, and the fact that it was causing my camera to take a picture, which I thought was, wow, that's amazing. And so with that, I'm so curious as to why and what the purpose was. And part of it was just let me know it wasn't a star. And the next night it was gone, the night of the actual eclipse, it was gone. So a couple nights later, the star is again in the sky. It's about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and it's gone by 11:30. So whatever it was, I saw, I didn't report it to MUFON. I'm still contemplating. I know the date, I know the time, but I don't have an idea. I'm curious was whether other people in my area saw it. So that would be a good reason for me to post it. But some of this stuff, I think a lot of other people are of the same frame of mind. What can I do? Where do I go with it? What difference does it make? Does it matter? And I can't explain it. I don't know really what to call it. I don't know that UFO is the best term. I do know that just because I saw something doesn't mean somebody else will or did. And that doesn't take it away. It just makes it really hard to, in any way, shape, or form, validate or confirm or add any credibility to it. So that's the thing that I think a lot of us are struggling with in terms of having these anomalous experiences and saying, what does it matter? What value does it have? Well, from the other perspective, after having these experiences for all my life, the value is that it lets me know there's so much more going on here. And when we pay attention and we focus and we trust, we connect in other ways and we learn new ways of seeing and being in the world. And we expand our horizons and we open our consciousness to new experiences and expansive views that incorporate a lot more of our environment into the equation. And instead of just going out and looking and saying, oh, that's a great star, it's like, what else is going on up there? Now, that's always been part of my, it's like, what else is going on up there? But to have that kind of interaction is a lovely perk. It's just like, wow, how did this happen? What is this about? Why? And I do think that more people are paying attention. The funny thing that when I talked with Cheryl Costa, she's the one who did the UFO, and it's not the encyclopedia, but the dictionary, the diary, that I can't remember what it's called at the moment. And I'm not going to walk over there and look. But they tried to document all the sightings in the United States. And the thing that they noticed, that people who saw UFOs, the common denominator, there were two, actually. They were outside smoking or walking their dogs. So they're outside and they're looking up. And that's the funny thing about it. When you think, how many times you just go from point A to point B and never look up. A lot of times when I see things, it's on the horizon as I'm driving. I've seen some really incredible things just driving. And so then you know, the classic UFO story of, oh, we saw something and there we were out in the middle of a field or in the middle of the country or somewhere isolated. And there's this image. There's a great, I just saw recently, LAX, I think they have a video of somebody who was in the plane and they have these three. I think it's in a triangle form or three of them in a row, similar to what the orbs that you see other places are. And it's being videotaped, which is great because that gives you an idea of what these things might look like. And the fact that we really don't have a whole lot of details. It's just the little sightings that are hither, thither, and yon and not all connected, but they're happening. So I wanted to talk about that today just to give another perspective and another view that these things are meant to help us, to inspire us, to encourage us to start trying to connect dots in however way that works for you. But for me, visiting when I did the Crystal Mine, Board Camp Crystal Mine in Arkansas, I was just anticipating crystals and paranormal activity and maybe being in the right place at the right time to see what they were talking about and knowing that, when you're in that space and seeing that kind of energy, that things happen. And you can't always experience it by reading or by looking on a YouTube video or whatever. It's being in the space and encountering, engaging the energy that makes all the difference in the world. So when I went, then the little surprise was the Sasquatch element, Bigfoot. I had no idea. I didn't even expect that. But what happened was they had been doing more homework and more people had been showing up and helping them and trying to connect dots. And it wasn't just the orbs, wasn't just the little interactive UFO type active, the beams that they write about in the book. It's the things that you learn if you're in that environment about encounters with Sasquatch and some of the, what they call evidence of the presence. And then I was in so many ways enlightened that, oh my gosh, it's so easy to overlook this stuff when you have no idea what to look for. And then there are the stories of the people who have grown up in this environment and the Native Americans who carry their own culture and having the experience and the awareness that, yes, this is just part of it. It's a bigger part of the picture. I've even interviewed people about it and never anticipated going somewhere where I would actually see for myself and feel the energy. And yes, it is telepathic. Yes, you can connect. Yes, there were prompts. And at one point, took a picture again, posted it, of a place that we weren't looking. I was, okay, as the creative element in me, I'm looking at the pebbles on the ground and seeing the form and thinking, wow, that'll be great. I'll go home and I'll paint that. I'll take a picture and put this image together and it'll be a great collage. So I'm doing that completely unrelated, but I saw it in the camera. I thought, okay, that's perfect. So we go back and I had taken a picture to kind of give us a template, give us a bookmark for where we were. So I looked into the woods and took a picture. Well, when we go back, there's a shadow and it's a shadow that would look like a potential Sasquatch shape. Thinking, what? Okay, so what made that shape? So we go back the next day to see what the shape is. And it's actually the moss, the way it's shaped on the tree that has fallen. And it does have that image. And at one point we were looking and saying, well, there might even be another image, almost a mirror image just behind that, that again has that Sasquatch element. Well, off to the right of that, there's actually a whole little square area that is textbook. It has the tree markings. It has the imprints, the scratch marks on the trees, the old growth trees that have been there forever and the new ones that are having the same kind of imprints on them. And I would not have seen that if this little shadow hadn't appeared. And they weren't familiar with it either until we went back and said, hey, look at this. So some of the things that we just pass off as maybe happenstance or luck or, you know, synchronicity, accidental. There was a reason to be interested and caught up and curious about that shadow. And it took me to go see a new place that had all the markings, all the indications of the presence. The other thing I discovered, the crystals have a specific use and a specific element, a reason for being there. And that's another thing that if you get more into it, will make sense. But when I interviewed more people about this and what they're finding, then there's just so much more information that most of us aren't going to get into or come into contact with unless we make it a point to seek it out and study further. So with that, it's been a fascinating and fun and interesting and amazing year with all of this stuff going on. And I just am looking forward to more things happening and more change. And as that happens, I'm getting a lot of interest and people curious about why these things happen. And do certain people draw them? Of course we do. Your thoughts, the way you think, the way you project, the way you magnify your beliefs, then you bring some of these things into your environment. And it's a trigger. And it makes life really, really interesting. It just, everything else pales once you make these connections. And some of the interviews I've done recently, you'll find them on Empower, also on Audio Boom with the Wendy's Coffee House. with people who experience extraordinary things. One of the things that we're dealing with, and I've had people, this is amazing. Okay, as I said, you draw things to you. So I'm interviewing people about poltergeist activity, entity attachment, that kind of thing. Well, then people that I'm dealing with who are needing a little bit of help and assistance have the same issues. So these are mirroring, the real life experiencers are mirroring the people that I'm talking to and getting information from that I can also pass on to the experiencers. And the fact that I've also experienced it myself comes in handy. The problem is there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. So each person has to have their own recipe and their own resources to draw from. We're all different. Some learn better through reading, some through hearing, some through experiencing. All of these ways of being in the world are unique and relevant. And so we learn from each other because we all have different pieces of the puzzle that we bring together. So as I'm doing that and talking and trying to pass on some of this energy, it's so fun to see the headlines, because then the headlines are talking about, like I said, that one, that the UFO encounter. I'm looking at the LAX. I'm looking through some of my files here. And then the books that I'm drawn to with Qigong and the activities about, and then what, Thich Nhat Hanh. He's the author of The Care and Treatment of Wild Energies. And here's how you spell it. Gaudreau. He's a dowser. He's also a Reiki master. But with him, he also wrote a book about spirits and how to work with spirit energy. And that book is Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. It's one of the best books on dowsing that I've read because it deals with entities. It deals with thought forms. It deals with belief systems that help you expand your horizons. And if you're not an intuitive or an empath, but you do have the abilities to sit back and be patient and learn how to connect as a dowser, then those abilities are enhanced and activated because you learn to in some way, shape, or form, step back from the linear way of thinking and get more into that empathic and intuitive connection. And the other thing that was in the news recently was the incredible electromagnetic discovery in the pyramid in Giza, the Giza's pyramid, the hidden chambers, electromagnetic energy that they think is created because of the way that it's set up. Now, that's an easy way for me to describe it. But so that's coming, you know, right here front and center headline saying they were doing a whole lot more than just trying to create a pyramid, which everybody suspected, or at least energy workers suspected, but the scientists had to quantify. So that's a potential right now, getting quantification for those types of beliefs. And that's all part of this change. As our planet is changing and morphing and becoming so much hotter and so much more, in some way, shape, or form, less hospitable because of the things that are happening. And some of it's in the timeline. It's intentional. When I wrote 20 years ago and was talking with the guides, they said the coming Earth changes. And this has been part of the timeline that these things are going to happen. And it will force people to live and think and be in different ways. And if you can open up to your own intuitive ability and connect on a different level, then you'll be drawn to places that will challenge you, that will help you, that will assist in you evolving and working in new ways, your own life pattern, your own path. Some of the things that I've got set aside in terms of more interviews have to do with being connected with your dreams. And that's another thing I worked with a long time ago, knowing that if I dream something, then I was dealing with that, and that might help me manifest it or help me address it if I needed to fix it, correct it. The dream is where I was also working. It isn't the same as having a dream book and having a specific, like every single thing in the dream has a certain message. If you dream about a dog, you dream about a cat, you dream about a light pole, you dream about a car, that it all has a certain meaning. This has to do with the experience of the dream. If you go into the dream and activate and intentionally go through a certain scenario in the dream plane, it's almost like a lucid dream. If you do that, then you're going to be able to bring it into the waking plane and have it stick better. In other words, you're practicing. You're bringing it to fruition. You're bringing it to the manifest, the concrete realm as you do this in the dream. So you're dream walking. That's a whole different way than getting a dictionary or a dream encyclopedia and saying, I dreamed about an owl. The owl told me somebody was going to cross over. No, I dreamed I was the owl. I flew into the night and I got the information that I needed and I brought it back to the plane where I could live it out. So these things mean different things to different people. And the whole point is to discern, to learn, to trust, to expand, to open your own insight to being aware, to being sentient, to being conscious and living it in that awakened state. And the cool thing is, you'll never be done. You'll never be fully cooked. You'll always be in a state of, in some way, shape, or form, evolution. And the revelations will come. And the enlightenment will come. And it just keeps, it keeps expanding and growing and morphing and evolving. And it just makes it a pretty cool place to be, living right now, empowered. Back in a few.
Did you know that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or don't measure up in some way? I'm Amy Poehler. You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Okay, so part of the empowered thing, part of the living thing, part of the focus thing, if I had one thing to really, really hone in on, it would be the auditory cues. something that we are unable to block, that we are unable to escape, unable to tune out, is sound. Because it doesn't have to go through your ears. I have hearing loss in one ear, so I hear through the bone. It compensates. And that has happened since I was a kid and had an operation because of something that was in the ear that shouldn't have been there. And then they told me that I was hearing, when they tested me, super high sounds that usually when you have that kind of loss, those are wiped out. Not for me. So the thing about that, though, is that when I hear, if I position the headphone to the bone behind the ear, it still picks up sound. It still resonates. It still, in some way, shape, or form, registers. When you're listening to music, when you're listening to commercials, when you're listening to television, all of those things are going in. They're programming. They're influencing. One of the most important things you can do to help yourself decompress and detach and get out of autopilot is to become much more aware of how you're being programmed, of the influence, the language, the sounds, the ambiance, all of those things. Once you start becoming more protective of that environment, you will appreciate much better the beauty of silence. And you'll hear it. Because then the silence will have its own presence, its own being. And you expand because you fill the silence. And people often talk about meditation and you have to learn to meditate. Okay, well, that's a cover for you have to learn to shut up. Okay, it's a polite way of saying shut up. But it's not just shut up with your talking out loud and the noise, you know, the CDs, the whatever it is you fill your time with. It's the allowing yourself to understand what it is you constantly fill your head with. Is it a critical tape? Is it a motivation tape? Is it a de-stressing? Or it is a constructive kind of, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, a motivating. What is it that you fill your time with and you fill your mind with and you put on your sound screen? Once you realize that all of those things are programming you, then you become aware that you have the ability to shift and change, expand, in some way, shape, or form, devalue, deprogram, depart from the autopilot, ongoing hustle and bustle and program of hype, 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 go, 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 be, 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 do, 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 never enough, into, this is enough. Wow. Amazing. What's there? Curious. Because there's an empty space that allows creativity, that allows constructive potential to present itself. But you have to create an empty space to give it room, to open up. Instead of being the little flower, the seed, the sapling, the tree that goes into the ground, that's you giving yourself space to be rooted, to be planted, and to give your breath a chance to empower you with no noise, no external, and then you understand the importance, you feel the importance of making that empty space, of creating the void to empower your potential, to empower your progress, to empower your being, yourself, your seeing. From the time we're little, we're surrounded by sounds. We're surrounded by others, by external. And it's just part of the program. Some people use the TV or the radio or something else to constantly create a buzz. And then they wonder why they're always hyped, amped, why they can't relax, why it's so stressful. Boom, 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 boom. Be, 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 do, 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 go, go, go. See, 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 see. When you give that stuff a break, then you can connect to your intuition. Oh, 20 years ago or so, I interviewed somebody who was a very, very competent empath, intuitive healer. And I said, what do you do about the noise? Well, it's not a problem. It's not there. Okay, fine. She was a PhD. She already knew. It was gone. That moment for her didn't register. So she couldn't address it. I'm like, well, shoot. Okay. But one thing that I knew she did do, she was an intuitive. She didn't have all this other stuff floating around in her space, all the flotsam, all the, you know, motivation tapes, all the HemiSync programs, all the rap, all the stuff that we try to do to induce, to infuse, interject some kind of dramatic element. And when you take that away, then you realize, oh, wow, it's really quiet. Except for that little voice in your head. All those little tapes that say, you should have, you could have, you must, you have to, why didn't you? All the criticisms. And then wonder where that came from. Who put that in there? That's when you can address the real stuff that says, who am I? I am. Fill in the blank. And make sure there's a blank. Don't jump to conclusions. I am. And give it a chance to cook. What can I be? What would I be? What do I want? What do I wish? What could I see? How can I imagine? What is possible? Even if it seems unrealistic, even if it seems inconvenient, beyond your station, outside of the convention or the conventional, what is possible if I take off all of the can't, won't, doesn't, shouldn't, not good enough? If I take away all of those stoppers, all of those, in some way, shape, or form, convenient distractions, labels, criticisms, limitations. What if I go back and say, I am, fill in the blank. What would I put in the blank? In a possible, in a positive, in a creative, in an imaginative, in a dream, in a no holds barred, in a I don't care what anybody else says. Then my empowered potential becomes engaged. I start expanding my horizons. I don't stop. And I can be employed. Okay? That's always a nice place. But in the be-all, end-all, at the end of your life, when you say, I was employed, kind of sounds empty. It kind of sounds, And even if you substitute and say, I was empowered, mine will be, I was curious. Not very big, but it's got a lot of potential. And no limits. It doesn't mean it's the perfect way to be. It means it's what works for me. And so in that way, though, all these other limitations, all these other labels don't apply. They don't apply. And so that's a way of shutting out all those cues, all those tapes that somebody put in when I was too small, too young, too unaware, too immature to go through and say, that wasn't mine. I don't have to be a ballerina. I don't have to be a firefighter. I don't have to be employed full-time 24/7, 7 days a week. I don't have to. I can do something different. And so I'm going to take all those tapes, all those auditory cues, and put them on mute. And then I'm going to reformat the hard drive and listen to things that make me feel the potential in creation. I will listen to the sky. I will listen to the trees. I will listen to the dirt, to the horses, to the dogs, the spiders, the water, the grass. I will listen to my heart. What is it that sings? Who is it that I'm hearing? Where is my angel? Where is my future? What is my present? I hear the silence, and I know I've opened a channel because nothing else is talking to me. Nothing else is telling me what I need to do, who I need to be, where I need to go, how much I am valued or not valued. I'm listening to creation, and I'm seeing potential and beauty, expansion. I'm seeing colors. I'm seeing sounds. I'm seeing worlds that don't exist yet. At least not here. But they exist somewhere. And sometimes I'm writing it down. But most of the time, I'm just letting it fill up my vision, fill up my world, my imagination, my potential, so that I can see how extraordinary these moments are that we are creating, and how much we can imprint, we can participate, we can project, we can shift, we can engage, we can immerse our energy into the equation. If I shut out all that other stuff that keeps me doing somebody else's program and reconnect to my own innate inner sense of being, I am fully engaged, fully aware, fully charged to take responsibility and empower my vision. So some of this is when you hear the silence, don't let it be a distraction, something that has to be filled up. Ask what the silence has to teach you. What can the silence add to your equation. So all of this stuff that I have learned in listening, in being, and allowing the channel to open has helped me create great wide open spaces where creation is playing and showing me worlds that can be and worlds that are, where we aren't there yet, but we can go. And that is what is so amazing when I'm looking for inspiration, when I'm looking for people to interview, to share their stories, and to empower, inspire, thinking outside the box. I want people who can say, this is how I've done it. And it's not about the almighty dollar and the next big label on the executive path. It's the walking through the field and saying, I didn't step on that spider. I saw the turtle cross the path. I saw the hawk fly. I heard the trees. I smelled the grass, the hay. I smelled the water, the river. All those things are unique, and they're going to be here with or without us when the executive labels are gone and there's no need to punch a clock or to prove self-worth with a title. All those things have their place. But when you decompress and depart from the need to constantly validate your existence, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun. You learn to play. You learn to live. You learn to fail. You learn that hope is just fine. It may not have an outcome in the way that you expect or anticipate. It may be an even better return. But if you don't give yourself a chance to create that empty space to see what you can manifest, then you don't really have a chance to tune into your own power, your own ability, your own knowing, your own insight. So making that beautiful black hole of nothing that requires no more than you giving yourself permission to say, I'm going to get off the fast track for a few minutes, a few days, however long it takes. I mean, I've talked to some people who've done it for years. Everybody's different. How long does it take you to decompress? To deconstruct all of the shoulds, coulds, must do, and then discover the real you. It takes as long as it takes. But in the interviews that I've done for the past, a long time, let's just not get into time, there are so many wonderful alternatives, unique ways of being. And I choose to see those that offer windows into alternative realities, solutions, ways of seeing, because that's the only way, or at least for me, that I have been able to create and imagine my own unique path, because it gave me windows. There wasn't a box. There wasn't a prerequisite. There wasn't a template. There was just an idea. When I went to Sedona years ago, they said it was better to have a direction than a plan. And that's worked. I know which way's up. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going up. I don't know how long it's going to take. I really don't care. I'm going up. So that's the idea. Have a direction. The plan will work itself out. And sometimes the best ways for plans to work themselves out is to surprise you. I don't have to win the lottery. That would be nice. I don't have to have a rich friend. I don't have to have a fantastic house. I don't have to have an answer or a solution. But I've got an idea. I've got a few. And with those come the plans, the actions, the inspiration, the motivation, the enthusiasm, and the power to shift my reality into a way where I see unlimited potential. I don't care what the conclusion is at the moment. It's temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. This is all a corporeal world. This is all manifest. This is all concrete. It's all rock and stone. But ideas and thoughts, once we are out of this body, once we are out of this form, and that's why I do the talks with people who've had near-death experiences, for people who are dreamers, out-of-body travelers, lucid dreamers, intuitives, people who see beyond the physical form, because that's where the thoughts are. That's where the ideas are. That's where the constructs that confine us or liberate us, that's where they live. Once I can shut out the monkey mind, then I can get real. And I can talk in a way that I can say, this is real. I am here now. And it's quiet, but full of potential. No, I'm not going to sing. But that kind of thing, when I'm working with my art, when I'm working with the rocks on the ground and seeing patterns and shapes and forms, in the middle of a place that's supposed to have all this paranormal activity and all this mysterious stuff going on, and I'm taking time out to say, wow, look at the pattern. I can go home and make something out of that. You can see I have an ability to get distracted and an ability to fill up my space and my time with something that excites me on multiple levels while I'm in a magical place and a magical space. So that's what it's like to live empowered and to be able to see the potential of a star being a UFO and shooting little red bursts at you. What the heck? What is that? It's an opportunity to think outside the box. I don't know what it was. It connected telepathically and told me to wait because it wasn't going to give me one more burst. It had to recharge. So I trusted. Okay, I'll wait. Then I focused my camera. There was another red burst. And there was another camera flash. My husband said, you know what you're doing when you're taking that picture and you're focusing? Your camera has that little red on the outside of it. It's got that little red light that comes on when you're focusing. You think maybe that star that was sending you little red bursts was talking to your camera? Oh, okay. See, it wasn't even about me. It was talking to my camera. Okay, here's a UFO where we are superfluous. It's our electronics they find fascinating. Well, that's okay. So here we're all about how powerful we are and how everybody wants our stuff. We're really important. And all these other entities and energies and beings in multi whatever dimensions that they are saying, whoa, they got cool toys. Let's go play with them for a while. Anything's possible. But that's what I find so interesting and so incredibly fascinating. We live in a curious world. There's a mystery out there. And it's not going away. When you solve one, there's another one. And you look for more clues. So somewhere there's a Sasquatch. Somewhere there are entities. Somewhere there are ghosts. There are non-corporeal forms. There are ETs of all different kinds. And the biggest thing is their imagination. They are our reality, our future, our past, and our imagination makes connecting with them possible. So imagine up. That's where I'm going. Come along for the ride. See ya.